added it.
This one here, on page 5.5, last thing. Make sure this gets adjusted just like you did on the other sheet. Because this is taken from the other sheet, I mean, the other sheet.
Okay, facilitators, please bring your table to a landing. We want to make sure we have some time to report back.
Okay, so I'm looking through all the comments that you guys provided. I have them all right down here.
You find it? Has not been mentioned in here at all, and we had a lot of discussion about 211 as far as provider review.
Great.
Well, it should say 211. Yeah, but 211 should be mentioned, I think.
All right, great. Thank you, everybody. What we're going to do is go around and ask somebody at each table to just give us the highlights. The facilitators have done their best job to try and capture all of your comments. You should feel more than comfortable and invited to write down anything you want to make sure we don't miss, and hand it in as well, because we want to capture as much of this as possible. It must have been a good conversation because you wanted to keep going. So let's go ahead and start. Is it okay if we start in the back table? Are you all ready?
Yeah, that's fine.
Is this working? Oh, it does.
Yep. Nice.
Well, we had a great conversation, really a lot of wonderful ideas. I'd say that the majority of our time was spent looking at the actions list and thinking about an opportunity to reorganize both the list of actions as well as a lot of the information in Chapter 5. The general thought around the table was that there should be three levels, things that are currently identified as hold on a second. We switched around some of the terms, so I want to make sure I'm using the current terms as well as sort of the new terms. If we look at the information in Table 5.1 that are listed as actions, for example, develop a committee to oversee implementation of the plan, measure performance, really felt that those are goals, and that from the goals there should be another level of strategies, which is currently not overly apparent in the plan, though if you do see them, they're listed as actual individual actions in the big list of 40. And then finally, under those actions that should be called now strategies, and then again looking at the list of actions, sorry if this sounds very confusing, we have a list of a lot of next steps where actually those are very specific actions. Anyway, the bottom line here is that we feel that there should be both an explanation of a hierarchy that explains goals, strategies that would meet those goals, and then individual actions, which could also include very specific projects or costs associated with those projects, and then to list those out, and that becomes sort of the core of Chapter 5. A couple of other elements that come along with that are we feel that once we were able to get down to those very concrete actions, once we have that, it'll be easier to break them out into tiers, because we'll know if those actions are something that can be done short term or they're much more longer term, if there's no funding available. And then one other component is just to make sure that we both have that things are written in the sense of very general, so they could be applied to, you know, any list of transit agencies rather than identifying specific ones. Don't worry, it's all clear in my head. I think. And then the last, the other part we spent some time on was on chapter 6, where, and I suppose this needs a little bit of confirmation, where we really want to be looking at some of the funding components that's related to what the work of the STFAC does, which is just STF funds and 5310. From that flows the application process. Some of the information that's currently in, I don't remember which attachment it is, I think it's attachment M, or maybe it's L. That information should be brought into the funding chapter, and things that are related to funds that are not under the purview of this committee should maybe be brought into the attachment. So sort of flip-flopping a little bit the various programs. I don't know if there was other things that we talked about that I may not have captured. Okay.
Joe's point that not just aging, but
yes, thank you for the reminder. There are a few things that are currently listed as actions that do refer to either aging in place or maybe just people with disabilities, and those should be written to be much to be more general, to capture people, seniors and people with disabilities.
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks. How about the front, let's see, front right table for you.
All right. We also had a very fruitful discussion. We spent a lot of time reviewing the Chapter 5 worksheet, so that was where we spent most of our efforts. Please, table compatriots, just let me know if I've missed anything when I review what we discussed. So just generally, we thought that the CTP was relatively comprehensive. There were a few notes that we wanted to emphasize and or highlight, whether that be in the introduction at the, you know, at the outset of the plan or elsewhere. But that's, first of all, mentioning the social determinants of health and placing the concept of transportation within that framework. So just setting that out right away in the introduction. And then also mentioning somewhere, or at least emphasizing the issue of housing costs across the region. So maybe that's something else we would maybe add to the introduction. We also had some just brief discussions about wordage, whether we want to use persons, people, or individual with disabilities, and making sure that those terms are consistent throughout the entire document, because I think there was a few inconsistencies.
Did you come up with a consensus on which
we
was preferred?
We decided on persons with disabilities to be used throughout.
Can we maybe get a full room consensus on that?
So the issue was whether we were going to use persons, people, or individuals with disabilities in the document, and our table identified persons with disabilities. So does anybody else have anything? Yes, no?
That's always the way we refer to it in our documentation.
Okay.
That's why we did it.
Jan's bright
idea.
That's
why we did it.
And we have not been, we've been probably more consistently using people rather than persons.
Mm-hmm.
But if everybody would like us to do that, happy to shift that,
right,
make it consistent.
So then essentially the name of the document would be the Coordinated Transportation and Seniors and Persons with
Disabilities. Yeah.
Right.
Which is better than the old E&D.
Yes.
EP.
Hand on the back.
It might be better with people, because I know a lot of the state level committees I'm on, their consistency is to try to keep it with the term people with disabilities, because like at your DHS offices, you hear it now say DHS aging and people with disabilities. And I know a lot of their state documents too, like when we sit on rules advisory committees and stuff, they use people with disabilities in there too.
Kathy?
People's fine with me. We just consistently use persons. But the other thing that always comes up, too, is this is write something, I write seniors and or people with disabilities, because it implies that seniors are not people with disabilities when in fact they are. So I don't know if there's a better way to word all of that.
Great. Thanks. Well, we'll keep wrestling with it.
Yeah.
We'll just be consistent with something at least.
Yeah. And then I'm not going to run through. We kind of dove into some specifics in this worksheet, and I won't dive into anything major here. Other than we identified a few actions that could maybe be moved to the third tier. We identified action 5 as moving to tier 3. We identified action 6 as moving down a tier. We had quite a few comments on how we were listing the responsible parties. There was a note about how CAT is extremely involved in all of this, and although they are under the umbrella of TriMet, it would be greater if A, they were listed under responsible parties for these actions, and then B, if they were just generally emphasized a little bit more in the document itself, as they are a driving force behind a lot of this. So that's it. The rest are very specific changes that I don't know would be worth reviewing right now, but is there anything else that I missed or any major overall themes that would be worth sharing with the rest of the group?
Well, I think one of the things, and I'm doing it for Deidre too, because we've talked about it, is we talked about the capacity for wheelchair seating, to kind of be more specific on that type and priority seating.
Thanks, Jan.
Just to
Great. Thanks very much. How about the middle table?
That was my table. So I'm just going to keep it pretty high level as well, but there's a couple themes. Yes, our group also agreed that they like the document. There was a lot of questions about a glossary, and just for the good of the group, the document will include a glossary. It just wasn't included in your packet. As far as kind of ways to possibly improve Chapter 5 in the strategies, one idea was to have more references between where the pages where we talk about the strategies, and then we have the table with specific actions. Just making some cross references there, like at the end of the narrative, to say see strategy 5, 6, and 7, to maybe just help make those connections. Some specific comments on some of the actions related to establishing a subcommittee. Our group wanted to make sure that when that gets formed, that it doesn't only include providers, but make sure it still includes CAT representation. And then on the strategy related to implementing trip screening, there was just some discomfort with that strategy. Mostly the concerns relate to kind of notification timeline. If a trip gets denied or determined that, you know, it doesn't meet the conditional eligibility, wanting to make sure that weather conditions were kind of a part of that discussion as well, because that can impact people's ability to make a trip on fixed route transit if it's really cold or really hot or really rainy. So those were the main takeaways from my group. Did I miss anything that you guys want to mention? Okay, thanks.
Great, thanks. Last but not least.
Discussion, and it sounds like that our group also felt like the plan was very comprehensive. We did talk about Chapter 4 a little bit. It was brought up that we'd like to see that different cultural groups are mentioned, and certainly if there are special mobility needs, especially that refugee groups were mentioned. So identifying if there are special mobility needs for different cultural groups, including that in the chapter. And then we looked over the maps quite a bit too, and there was a request that we have a map that combines the service area and the services that are provided with the senior and persons with disabilities data. So we thought maybe that could be like a larger scale pullout map that's available, since these are smaller and it's hard to overlay data in a smaller format. Maybe that's a separate map that's pulled out in a larger format. there's a request that maybe this could end up being consolidated as an action item, but that we look at these destinations for the specific audience for this plan, seniors and people with disabilities, that are either major destinations or areas within the region that are hard to serve or hard to make trips from because of the conditions of the environment or because of you know, too many transfers or things like that. So an analysis that really dives into that, and maybe a way to take these maps and the data that's been provided and include that within Google so that service providers have a link to this information and this data where they can sort of play with it, zoom in, zoom out, and see the populations that are really specific to their communities. It would be a great tool for marketing and advocacy for different different folks. So that's what came out of that discussion. We spent quite a bit of time looking through the actions as well. So just a couple things to note. We did look at adjusting some things to tier three and adding some responsible parties for specific actions. We felt that number four and number 17 were very related, but we want to keep them under their own sort of strategy sections. But that number four is really the way to kind of identify what these areas are for feeder services, maybe change the wording from implement routes to implement community connectors in TriMet SEPs. But linking that with number 17, and instead of saying identify new services, because really that's done under number four, instead design, develop, or propose, something like that, a different action item, different action word. And so that's what we've done with a lot of these action items, is really change that verb to be sort of more appropriate. And we've looked at different action items that could be consolidated or linked related. Let's see, is there other ones I want to note here? Under number nine, the group felt that this, as it was currently written, really focuses on just, you know, the senior population, but really this should be updated to not only include more of a universal design so it's benefiting people with disabilities also, but instead change the verb to advocate for universal design, because and maybe this is part of the role of the coordinating committee that comes out of action one, but to make sort of a more appropriate action item that addresses working with different jurisdictions and agencies and organizations to identify what the sort of regional funding sources are that can be applied to fund these priorities. And then under number 26, it really specifically focused on Washington County, and we felt that we should be increasing, instead of outreach, communication and marketing efforts to members of the public and policymakers, but for all counties. So we've expanded that to not only focus on Washington, but all three counties as well. So those are some of the highlights from our group, and we certainly had other little ones to share as well. But I think generally our group really loved that first action to develop the subcommittee, and we understand that there's going to be a big role there to do a lot of this sort of implementation and tracking. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Any other final thoughts? I think we're going to start moving on to our last agenda, well, almost last agenda item for the day. Okay, great. We talked you out. So if you remember, We talked at the very end, the last couple of minutes of the last meeting, about this funding that we set aside in last year's funding round for $100,000 worth of funding to be used for something innovative. We now are getting to the point where we're almost halfway into the biennium, and we need to decide what that gets spent on. We don't want it to float out there, and we certainly don't want it to go unspent. So, as I mentioned last meeting, what I'm hoping we can do is have a conversation now about what ideas there might be and be able to ask some questions. Ask anyone who has a very specific proposal after this meeting to, if they haven't already, go ahead and write up exactly what it is. And then we're going to try to see if we can bring you all to a consensus around what thing to fund at the next meeting. If for some reason we just can't get there, we'll find a different way to get there. But that's certainly the hope. So, Leon.
Yeah. What is this called? Because I do have a comment about it. But that I'll write to you.
I don't have it in front of me. You can call it the $100,000 Innovation Fund if you want, and we will know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. So we talked about it so briefly last time, we didn't really even get to do a true brainstorming. So I was just going to open it up to, I know that Kathy has one thing she wanted to bring up, and I'm not sure if others do. Elaine, maybe. So let's just start talking about that. I'll probably just jot enough on the board so we have a sense of what it is. Like to just get some ideas out there and then come back and see if there are questions, clarifications, descriptions, thoughts, whatever. Does that sound okay to everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Who wants to go first? Leon?
Yeah. There were two reasons. But anyways, one of them says I forget the exact words, of like, you know, we want more people to write TriMet and stuff like that. So I was thinking of like something for fun for kids, you know, or to just pay attention to that location, is to make a, like, you know, anyways, where you have the post for the bus sign, make it a little one. You have the post for the bus sign, you know, it's like number five, not a five, I don't know, number six. Anyways. And then, but make a wider thing so it looks like if it's right near the zoo, have it like the same pattern of the side of a leopard or something like that. And if it's near the zoo, one that's a leopard and one that's a tiger. And I'll write another idea. Well, the other idea, well, never mind, I'll just write it down.
Okay. Thanks. So the key point is to encourage kids to ride.
Yeah, kids.
How would you see that focusing specifically in on service for seniors and persons with disability?
Is this supposed to be specific?
Yeah, we want. Remember, this is coming from STF funds, really needs to be focused in on that.
Well, it might be. Well, I don't know. I was thinking parents with disabilities, there aren't too many people.
Maybe let that roll around in your head for a few minutes and see if you have a thought.
Okay.
Kathy, did you want to?
Sure. I have a handout here that I
organized.
She planned that.
Huh? I had teenagers. I talk really loud, so I think you can all hear me.
You do need to be relatively close because it's for the record.
So I'll try and be brief here. So TriMet is requesting that the STFSC consider maybe using the additional $100,000 towards the interactive voice recognition system that we brought forward for the STF process. And just to remind you a little bit about what that system does. It would allow Lyft customers to be able to call into the program and automatically review their trip reservations and their ETAs, their estimated time of arrival for their Lyft buses, access all their information about the trips that they've scheduled, and then also cancel any of those trips if they'd like. And so that would be through the telephone system. So if you recall on the through the STF process, TriMet is on the list for $100,000 towards that project. And what happened was during the FY17 budget cycle for TriMet, the funds that we had put in the budget to match that were deferred to FY18. So that would mean that we would have that money available to us later as a match to the $100,000 that we requested through the STF process. So what we were thinking was we did get updated quotes from Trapeze for what this process would cost. It's divided up into different modules, and so we can implement them at different times further down the road as funding becomes available. But with the if we were to get the $200,000 total from the STF process, that would allow us to implement the first module in 2017. And so these bullet points here, that's what we would be able to offer after 2017. The cost for that first module is $200,000, and then there's an ongoing maintenance fee of $13,200 for each year. And that $200,000 also includes the one-time licensing fee to Trapeze, who provides our Lyft software, for any of the modules we would purchase in the future. And then the second module, there's a brief description there at the bottom of the page, that would allow people to be able to call in and have access to all these same features as well as be able to request their trips online through the web or using a smartphone. So that would be what the difference would be. So it would be our expectation that if we implemented the first module in 2017, then we would have funds available through the FY18 period to pay for the second module for TriMet. And then the other option too is that if we didn't use the $200,000 to purchase this module, we would look at using the $200,000 to use our own IT department to develop an open source software package that would provide us with these same functions. So we would investigate where we would get the most value for our money, but that's what we're thinking. So just wanted to bring it forward for your consideration and discussion, and we'll see what happens.
So just to clarify for my benefit, the first module is the interactive voice response. So it's the telephone automatic thing.
Right, a regular telephone,
and you can
not a smartphone,
and you can get information on the trips that you've booked. You could cancel a trip if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
and you could get your estimate. We have a lot of people that call in now to dispatch or reservations to see what time their bus is supposed to arrive, And so that they would be able to get that information automatically as well by without having to speak with anyone.
Uh-huh. And then the second module would be functionality on the web.
Or a smartphone.
Uh-huh. Or a smartphone, mm-hmm. Okay.
So a person could go in and actually pull up the information and look at it themselves and have access to it on the smartphone too.
And that's the same stuff, the arrival,
right. Right.
Information cancellation.
So it gives somebody 24/7 access to all of their information, and it also gives TriMet the capability, like when we have inclement weather, you know, we pretty much have to rely on people either calling in to check on their ride status or watching the news to see what level of service we're providing. So we could send out general messages to all of our 10,000 active customers to let them know what the status was of their trips. And so it just has a lot of features like that would be beneficial to the customer communication aspect.
And both the phone and the web are 24/7?
Right.
Okay.
Does this save personnel costs in the long term?
We think it could. It certainly.
You haven't factored that in here.
Well, I haven't. No, I haven't estimated what the savings would be, but it would. I think it would be an overall savings for people in general because they wouldn't have to wait on the phone as long. So, well, we would expect that. I can't tell you what it would be, but we would expect. Yeah.
You wouldn't need somebody answering the phone.
Right. Right. We wouldn't need, and we would.
We'd still need that. We just might need less.
Right. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. We would. So.
Can I ask? Is this going to be one of those things when you call the customer service or dispatch? You're going to get this instead of somebody, or is this going to have a dedicated number that you call?
I think it would have a dedicated number.
Or maybe when you first get in, you can choose which.
You wouldn't have to. I mean, you'd still always have the ability to connect with someone if you wanted to. But if you...
This is a developmental...
Yeah.
Would that be made very clear at the beginning?
Right.
Somebody, because I finally gave up CenturyLink because in a month you could find out that you could maybe actually call, talk to a person. Its prompts are so long...
Right.
Talking 10 minutes down the line. If somebody does that and they can't quite navigate this.
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't take away the other system. I mean, we have people at different levels of comprehension, and so for the ones that it would work for, then that would be a benefit. And the other big benefit for it, too, is many people, someone else calls in and schedules their ride, or someone else, their caregiver or their family member, is trying to get the information for the customer. So they'd be able to do that much more seamlessly, too. So that would be another aspect of it. But
So essentially what you're doing is you're asking for the funds that we're talking about right now for this new technology project to essentially double down on what you've already applied for through the STF discretionary fund, which it looks highly likely that will be funded for that from ODOT. So can you talk about essentially what are we going to get with that $100,000 that the STFAC is already invested or is committed to invest, and then what additionally you're going to get if this extra hundred thousand goes towards these?
Well, all we'd be able to get with the first $100,000 would be the licensing to either develop it on our own or for the future modules. We need the full $200,000 to be able to buy the first module. So that's where we're at. And because the funds were delayed or deferred to the next fiscal year, then
the TriMet.
Yes. So we're looking at it as if we get the $200,000 now, then we can pay the full cost of the next module, which would be, I think there's a total of 3 modules, but the other one is for staff to use, which would be further down the road. But we should be able to cover the cost of the second module. So we'd be getting $200,000 total.
So
For the $450,000 worth of software.
And you'd be able to implement sooner as well.
Yes.
Okay.
We'd be able to implement next year.
Thanks. Any other questions for Kathy? Yeah,
that's good.
Thanks, Kathy.
Thank you.
Elaine, did you have?
Well, mine was it's truly a brainstorm idea.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's still where we are. Kathy's just done her homework.
when you were talking about this, I think there's a proposal being set forth around technology and open source software from some other funding sources. And oftentimes...
Which I'll explain in a minute as soon as I'm sure I know what we're talking
and
about.
And I can't explain it, but you could. But so it often provides strength to a grant proposal to show funding available for it, that the local community supports the idea because there's X amount of dollars. So, I mean, my thought was maybe we could put that toward that project to help strengthen the larger application for funds. I'm not sure I'm saying it right, but
yeah. So let me start talking and see if I'm saying what you're getting at. There is right now, it happens to be specifically within the city of Portland, an application called Smart Cities Challenge. That's what we're talking about.
There's another one too.
That's smaller. Hannah, do you know what? I'm totally blanking, which is embarrassing because.
Well, I am too.
Let me talk about the Smart Cities Challenge, and then I'll see if I can remember the other one. So the Smart Cities Challenge is a big grant application. It's actually for $40 to $50 million for a whole range of things from. Traveler information to air quality monitoring to finding ways to get more web access for people who don't have data plans. But one of the things, the central item is to try to get enough information together so that on web and app, people can get access to all of their transportation options. That would include, you know, whatever you are able to take advantage of. That could be walking, biking, transit, Car2Go, Lyft, Lyft LYFT, and Lyft LIFT, Ride Connection. You know, anybody who's out there providing services that you are eligible for, would all the information would be available and be able to pull down, and you'd say, you know, I want to go from here to here. What are my options? What are the costs? What are the travel times? All those kinds of things. Ultimately, they want to get to the point where you could even pay for it within that app or on that web interface, and have all that information available, which would be great both for the individual person and also for service providers to be able to make sure they're not missing out on things that somebody might be eligible for.
Yeah. Remember those grants. So there's the ODOT Transit Network grant that was recently available, but the application deadline has passed for that. And then there's the Transit Center grant too that we were brainstorming ideas for.
Right, so and that one's passed as well.
Yeah, those okay. are the two recent ones.
Okay.
The other one it's $8 million nationally, so it's not very big.
Yeah, that's the one that just came out. That's called.
Find it.
It's got some funny name.
Right.
They call it the Mobility on Demand Sandbox, which is why none of us can remember what it is. Because, like, what's a sandbox? They are trying to make it be so innovative that they didn't even want to give it a specific name. It's just, you know, we'll give you some money and you be innovative and play in your own sandbox and figure it out. So I think Elaine, the idea is, pledge that $100,000 towards a move towards one of these ideas so that it's a little bit more leverage and makes it just that much more likely that the region or the city, whoever is applying for it, might get it.
Especially that $8 million.
Okay.
So maybe we need to consider this, what you're writing up there, Alan, but we do have a specific timeline for drawing down the funds that have been set aside, that $100,000, because the term, essentially, we're already a year into the term for those funds from ODOT. So whatever we decide that we need or that we want to do with them, we need to have all the funds expended over the next fiscal year. So there is a time constraint in terms of if we're trying to look for grant opportunities to apply this to, they need to be near-term grant opportunities.
And it has to be expended, not committed. Is that right?
Expended, yes.
Right.
So
does Elaine.
Yeah.
I
mean, we can be real innovative and send
everybody on the STFAC
to Hawaii
or something.
Yeah, right.
That's
Aruba.
Yeah.
How about the STF agency as well?
They had a really cool transit solution in Greece. We could go. Any other ideas or questions about any of those?
So, Kathy, on the one with Tri, it's ETA too, right? We'll be on it. Everything.
What's that?
Estimated time.
Oh, right? Yeah, okay.
That's what I was thinking when you said on time. I just want to be sure.
Yeah. Thank you. So we only have a few minutes left, and we do have at least one bookkeeping item. So what we'll do is follow up with Kathy, follow up with Elaine. Leon, if you have ideas, let us know. What I'd like to make sure is that whichever ones folks really want to pursue, those who suggested something, that we get as solid as we possibly can at the next meeting, and we'll work with you to do that so that at my hope is at the beginning of the next meeting, we will review what things are on the table. And by the end of that next meeting, we'll be able to say, yeah, we want to fund this, or we want to fund both and split the money, or whatever it is.
So we'll want to have the ideas further fleshed out, maybe have a write-up that we can send out to committee members before the meeting so that you've already reviewed what's on the table. Or the ideas yep. that are on the table so that you can make a decision when you come to the meeting.
So the deadline for firming that all up is a full week before the next meeting because we want to send it out with all the other meeting materials. Yep. Great. Thank you.
Is May 27th, yes.
No.
No, it's been changed to
no.
June.
No, she's right in that.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Those proposals are due May 27th. Thank you, and that's a great segue.
Right on, right on.
Housekeeping items. We have rescheduled that May 27th meeting to June 3rd. You should all have been updated on your calendars, sent a public notice. So if you have conflicting information, please change it. It should be June 3rd for the next meeting. Thanks.
And at that meeting, both as a thank you and also as a encouragement to continue to coordinate and network amongst all of you. We were considering doing a very simple lunch right afterwards, just get some sandwiches in or something. Would folks be interested in that? Is that... I didn't expect a no, but I wanted to make sure. What I do want to make sure, though, is we're going to try to have some kind of RSVP thing so we don't overorder food. And also, if anybody has particular food sensitivities that we need to really pay attention to, we want to be aware of that. So when, as we follow up, we'll make sure we have some way to have you communicate that back to us.
We can have the room till 1.
Leon? What? Thank you.
Making the comments, what address do we send them to?
Hannah, where do they send? If we can't get, obviously we want as many comments as we can before you walk out the door because they're more likely to get to us. But any other comments we would really, really appreciate by Tuesday. And go to you, Hannah.
Yeah, you can send them to me. Of course, they're going to need to get to Susie as well, so I can be the gatekeeper on that. But if you can get them to me, if you're able to, email would be really great. But if you don't do email, then you can mail it to our address, 1800 Southwest 1st Avenue. And I don't know the... 97201 is the zip code. Right.
Oh, it's in Portland.
Yeah. Portland.
Can I leave this here? I already got one. Yeah.
But please do. If you have written down comments, please give them to us today if possible so that we can begin incorporating them into the draft. Okay. Okay.
Great.
I have another...
Quickly, we're over time.
Right. So just one other housekeeping item. We have a request from the TriMet board to provide bios for the STFAC members. And so I've already reached out to you all to let you know that we're going to try to put those together. So we're going to continue to work with you to develop those. If you have a professional, like work-related bio, please send that in to me. If you have a photo you'd like us to use, please send that in to me. We'll put this information up on the website, on our TriMet website, under the STFAC committee. If you don't currently have a bio, and we're just looking for like a short, like one or two paragraphs, we'll work with you to develop it. So please just get in touch with me. We'll reach out to you as well, just to try to either do that through phone or email, whatever works best. So, thanks.
And again, thank you all for participating and having a really great conversation. And hand it back over to Jan.
Oh, me. We're out of here, right?
Thank you.
I'm not gonna go. You know, just let them
get out of here.